Radio.
Hello and welcome to CryptoCurrent, the only podcast to bring you beginner and advanced knowledge of cryptocurrency and blockchain, analyses of cryptocurrency markets, and discussions on growing a business within the crypto space. Stay tuned and stay CryptoCurrent.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of CryptoCurrent. Your host here, Richard Carthon. Today, I got a special guest all the way in Berlin, Germany, and I'm really excited to learn more about his amazing project. So today, we have Nathan with MindSpider. How are you doing today?
Very good. Thank you very much for having me. Guten Tag, as we would say over here with my amazing, perfect, brilliant German accent. No, I don't think anyone would ever confuse me for a German.
No problem, man. Of course. Happy to have you here. So go ahead and we'll start off by, you know, tell us a little about yourself. Give us some background.
All right. So I'm Nathan Williams. I'm the founder and CEO of MindSpider. And we are doing a blockchain protocol for responsible metals and raw materials. So the idea is this: everyone has the right to know what they are purchasing. If you go to the store and you want to buy a cell phone, or if you want to buy a car, you want to buy something, any product really that is made out of raw materials, you should have the right to know that there were no slaves used in the making of it, that there were no children who were working in horrible conditions to produce what you are purchasing. But the problem is it's really hard to do that. So what we've done is we've created a system that creates digital certificates. These certificates are good for certain amounts of material, like a ton of lead, a ton of cobalt, 10 kilograms of whatever material. And those certificates are on the blockchain, so they're limited in number, so you can't forge or fake or double spend them. And you can upload whatever data demonstrates that you're a responsible producer. So, for example, you might have a legal export license, or maybe you have ISO 14001 certification showing that you're environmentally responsible. You upload all this data, and then it goes along with the material all the way to the end user, so that you can make an informed decision. Because companies, like manufacturing companies that are they're in the same position you're in, they have the right to know what they're buying because they don't know. If they see two screens, they don't know what went on in before them and before their suppliers and before their suppliers. And so there needs to be a way of seeing transparency all the way up the supply chain.
Gotcha. Wow. It makes a lot of sense. And it's really interesting that, like, this in particular is the route that you decided to tackle, and a problem that you saw that you're like, wow, this is something that blockchain technology can solve. So what was your initial introduction into the crypto and blockchain space? Like, how did you even get to a point where you started this company?
I don't know. I tend to do hard things, and for some reason, I tend to choose things that I find interesting. Of course, but they always tend to be big challenges. And before I was doing this, my previous company was in chemical regulations, and I had this online software system with an AI that would identify chemical names in the news, identify when chemicals were going to be banned. So I was really in the industrial space with emerging technology. And then around 2017, I had sold the previous company and was looking for my next step. And it was around that time that the current U.S. administration was sworn in. And there was an article in the Washington Post that had interviewed many electronics producers, manufacturers, as well as some people from the Enough Project and the OECD. And they were saying that they were concerned that the policy of the current administration would be to roll back protections for conflict minerals, conflict minerals being metals that come out of Central Africa where there's an ongoing civil war. There are regulations to prevent funding of these armed terrorist groups. And they were concerned that that would get rolled back. And so I said, well, that's an interesting problem that people obviously are eager to solve. So I just emailed everybody who was quoted in the article. And I said, well, what have you tried? What has worked? What hasn't worked? What would you like to see? And I spent about a year just talking with different people in the industry, going to big events and mapping out sort of the ins and outs of this problem. And what I came up with is what MindSpider is more or less today. It was sort of a rudimentary form at the end of 2017. It's been refined since then, but because it was a hot topic right around the same time that blockchain became a hot topic, the two things sort of merged together, got peanut butter on my chocolate, so to speak.
Yeah.
And and here we are today.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, first of all, congratulations on, you know, having a successful exit as an entrepreneur. That is a huge deal. And that is not something to be overshadowed. So kudos for that. And then second, just the ambition to, you saw a problem and then you contacted the people to be like, what are you doing about it? Then you're like, okay, I can do something about this. Let's figure out how I can create a company to address this issue. So really cool for everyone listening. Like, that's kind of driving kind of things that, you know, hopefully as you listen to various conversations and topics on this podcast, something piques your curiosity and you're like, wow, that's a problem. And I want to solve it because I'm passionate about this thing. And that sounds exactly like, well, Nathan, what you did in this scenario.
It was born out of learning from my mistakes. I've built companies that have been based on ideas before. And the problem is you get a good idea and it doesn't necessarily solve a pain point of anyone in the market. It sounds like a good idea and everyone tells you that's a great idea and then no one wants to pay for it. And so I started thinking, how can I do things differently? And I really wanted to understand the problem this time of how big this problem was, how complex it was, what people had tried, what was really painful. Because this is the if you take one learning away from my experience, it should be this, is that always go and really spend time understanding the problem space before you build a solution. Because people will pay for you to solve their problems. People may or may not pay for your great idea.
That is gold advice, honestly. Like, that is excellent, excellent advice. And I co-sign that. Is you have to be able to speak to people's pain, and ideas don't necessarily sell. But when you're addressing a direct issue and someone's like, wow, if I don't have to deal with this and I can pay you this amount of money to like not even worry about this anymore, take my money, you're onto something.
Shut up and take my money is what people will say if you're solving their problem.
Yeah.
Shut up and go away is what they'll say if you come up with the, you know, the next Facebook for cats or whatever.
Right. So with MindSpider, tell me about the progress. Like, where are you currently at? Where are you headed? And you know, how has it been received by the community?
Well, right now we are approaching the end of 2019 as of this recording, and so it's almost 3 years in since that first Washington Post article, and we've got 10 people now, so it's going okay. We've raised a bit of money from a couple of angel rounds, and we just got word, and we just announced yesterday that we've received or have been selected for a European Commission grant.
Congratulations.
Thank you. That will really help us going forward. We had the idea originally to do an ICO, and if you actually look on the website, the white paper is still there that details the use of the token. We have actually moved away from that concept because we realized early on, just testing it with companies, that companies didn't want to hold cryptocurrency. And so we started thinking of what would companies be incentivized by. And so we've sort of retooled our concept. And the ICO didn't work. So we had with the new concept. And so basically we've moved into more of a traditional funding mechanism where we've been selling equity and then we've had to go with grants. So this news is actually a real breath of fresh air for us, because it also means the European Union is supporting the development of this. And
absolutely, which is exciting, because I also heard that isn't Germany leading the way, like with institutional trading of cryptocurrencies? Like, they're trying to like leave a really good they're trying to open up the gates basically for the space, which is pretty exciting.
I think that is very true, and it is exciting, but I think they're a little late to the party. I mean, Malta got in there a little earlier, and so did Liechtenstein, Gibraltar, and then, of course, Switzerland was crypto central for a long time. And I think that it's great that Germany's on board, but I think that a lot of the crypto hype has died down. We're in a bit of a crypto winter. I don't know if it's a short or a long, it'll be a short or a long-term scenario, but I think that for right now, it's like all the doors are open, but no one is really walking through. So
gotcha.
We'll see how it plays out.
Gotcha. Well, good luck. And I'm confident that, I mean, sound like you with building a team of 10 and y'all are constantly working on this. There's a lot of legs to it. So I'm confident that this will continue to move forward and be great. I'm sure as confident as you are, but
I really hope so. I didn't finish answering the question either. The biggest thing has not been the fundraising. The biggest thing has been the willingness of companies to start doing responsible sourcing. And I'll tell you, like, one of the most common questions I get asked is, do companies really want to know what's going on in their supply chain? And the answer is yes. Like most of the companies we work with have come to us. So our biggest and probably most well-known client that gets talked about a lot is we're working with Volkswagen. And Volkswagen actually approached us at an event. We ended up winning a small hackathon that they were hosting, and they came to us and say, okay, well, we have these problems trying to know where we're getting our material from. And so they approached us, but we've been approached by enormous companies. We've got a second project tracking tin out of South America, and we were approached, I think, by about 10 global brands to participate in this. And not all of them ended up participating in the end, but it ends up being the sort of thing that you see that a lot of companies have this issue. And that's really the validation that we were going for.
Right. And that's absolutely amazing. I mean, working with a brand like that and having a lot of other large names come to you, and it goes back to where you started, and you said you saw a pain point, you addressed it, and now as everyone's trying to catch up and start addressing these things, you have basically set the foundation of here's how you can address this issue. So kudos to you for getting it off the ground, getting it where it's going. I'm excited for its trajectory and what's to come. One of the next things I kind of want to ask you about, though, you've been in this space for 3 years and you have seen a ton of crypto and blockchain projects from the various events and conferences that you've been to. What are some other crypto and blockchain different projects that have your attention right now?
Oh, that's interesting. So backstory here is that when I started with blockchain and with MindSpider, I was not yet an expert. I knew of blockchain, but I wanted to become that expert. And so I actually started a podcast back in 2017 with the goal of having it be a sort of a vector for meeting as many projects as I could. And I did. I ran this this podcast doing two interviews per week for almost 2 years. And I met a lot of really interesting companies out there. Now, what I don't know is how many of them are still in business, but I found a lot of really interesting approaches. So some of them are stable coins. You know, a lot of them are things such as payment solutions and stable coins. But I do think that stable coins are a really interesting market and application of blockchain, and it hasn't really there hasn't emerged a clear winner yet in that. I mean, I've talked to a few people trying different ones. There's obviously there's ones like Tether where you have sort of the single point of failure version where people just give money into a bank account and then they issue cryptocurrency, and that's fine. But what I find interesting are the ones that are dynamic. So there was one called Synthetix, which which I they create and delete cryptocurrency at the same time. It's a similar concept to MakerDAO, I think, and a similar one to, I think, Universal Protocol is also in a similar bent, and they all have slightly different approaches. But I find those ones to be interesting applications. But for the really interesting applications of blockchain, it's I always ask, what are the projects that are doing the most with decentralization, that are doing the most with incentive building, and that are doing the most with trustlessness? Right. And so anytime you have like an interesting type of marketplace, this is interesting. So I remember meeting the founder of a company called Limpo, where they were incentivizing people to do fitness. And so it was like a healthcare crypto, where you have a system where people can participate in fitness challenges, and those fitness challenges are sponsored by individual companies who buy crypto, put it up there, and then you get rewarded for doing your exercises.
Interesting.
And but in a sense, what people are selling is their personal data. So by participating in the challenges, then they can get they get advertised to by these companies sponsoring the challenges. So it's just an interesting way of doing that without necessarily needing a middleman. Other ones include, let's see, I talked to a company called Jolt a while ago. That was pretty cool. I believe they were doing decentralized sports, I want to say, sports, okay. Media. And I don't know, decentralized advertising is an interesting one. One of my good friends has a new project called Gust, which is decentralized recruitment. So basically removing the middleman from recruiting. Imagine you get paid for doing a job search instead of a recruiter getting thousands of dollars for doing the matchmaking.
Okay.
And then there's another friend of mine who runs a company called Arweave, which is super interesting. Very, very technical, but basically Amazon Web Services or for the blockchain. So imagine having a completely decentralized data storage. That's pretty cool. I think they're probably one of the more successful ones I know. They're based here in Berlin, and they raised something like $8 million. Something to that effect.
Yeah.
They did quite well in 2018 and are fairly well known.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for giving us a ton of different projects to go look into. And really cool that with your podcast as well, while you're doing it, it was to, one, network and meet a lot of cool people working in the industry, but then also to educating yourself along the process. And one of the things that I've really made a point of in this podcast is something similar, where I am trying to get amazing people like yourself, one, so that I can bridge the gap between people who know nothing about crypto and blockchain with thought leaders in the space, but then also trying to have different insertion points to pique curiosity, because I really believe curiosity is what leads people to want to get more education and to do more. And so I really think that you have a lot of those same principles, and like why you originally went into that to learn about these different projects. And then you can also elevate them and collaborate them as well as they go along their crypto journey. So I think that's really awesome.
Absolutely. And honestly, Richard, we live in the future where it doesn't take a radio studio and thousands of dollars and a broadcast license to start your own show anymore. You just need a $20 microphone and a computer and you're good to go. And so there's really no excuse anymore for not being your own content creator. If you have something to say, you just go online and say it. And it's just a wonderful era that we're living in for this sort of thing.
Absolutely. And for anyone who is interested in doing it for themselves, highly recommend looking into like how you can start. But another quick question I have for you, Nathan, is what are some things in the crypto and blockchain horizon over the next year or two that you think, one, that you're going to be paying attention to, but you also think that other people should have on the back of their mind?
I don't know. It's funny because I find crypto to be one of this double-edged sword, really interesting spaces that has a bunch of pros and a bunch of cons. Now, I've always been a fan of decentralization. And crypto is a way of doing that. And it's the idea is a power shift. We're bringing power back to the people, right? Crypto started with Bitcoin as a way of saying, well, why does the central bank get to regulate how value is created or the money supply? Why can't we all keep our own records? Right. And I'm not a Bitcoin maximalist by any stretch of the imagination, but I love the spirit of that. I love the spirit of how can we reimagine existing systems to benefit as many people as possible and to distribute this type of power. And I think that what happened in 2017, looking backwards first, is that people were excited by this, but everyone was most excited about the ability to make money. And I think that on one hand, that was very legitimate. Because with most, your average investor, your average person, they don't have the means to be able to invest in higher risk but higher potential reward startups, right? You have to be an accredited investor in the most part. And this really brought that ability back to the average individual. The problem, of course, is that that also led to this this wave of nothing projects that that ended up losing a lot of value. But I think that there's still this nugget of gold in there, in that why can't interesting and really, really innovative projects build their own communities and make their own rules by how they operate? And in a sense, they print their own money. But I think that there's a certain value in that decentralization that needs to come back. But it's going to come back again, but probably not in the way that it did before. I think we saw a once in a lifetime thing of people just getting really hyped into this bubble market. And when it comes back around, it's going to be more responsible, maybe more mature. And because we're going to have learned so much as a community. So we're already seeing people try and do things like IEOs instead of the ICO, where you end up having due diligence sort of built into the token sale already by the fact that you've got an exchange willing to put their reputation there, so they already pre-vet the project. I think that this sort of maturity is going has to come into the space where there will be more trusted partners or trusted entities involved. It's not going to be the pure decentralization vision that was originally there. But I think that's okay, because the pure decentralization vision only works if everyone has equal access to knowledge. And for crypto to reach the masses, not everyone will have the same access to knowledge, or because it's complex stuff to understand. And so I think that the average mom and pop investor will need more vetted projects, maybe more regulatory frameworks. And we're going to see sort of a happy balance come between them. There will always be the pure decentralized radical projects out there, and we'll never get rid of them. But I think for blockchain to really infiltrate the masses and to bring value to as many people as possible, we're going to need people that are setting a new set of standards and rules for how these projects go.
I think that's an extremely interesting take. And I think there's a lot of truth to what you're saying. With for mass adoption to happen, there needs to be some more centralized things. For right now, with everything being decentralized, and just as you said, the knowledge and the way that you'd be able to use a lot of these cryptocurrencies in the first place, it's not very user-friendly. It's not very intuitive. It is a whole process to truly understand, like, how do I give and receive money? But when you get to a point you can open an app and you can do things without really having to figure stuff out, there's probably going to be some centralized protocols to make that happen. So even though it's quote unquote decentralized, there's still going to be some centralization in it to make the use case that simple.
And if you think about it, the only truly decentralized project out there was Bitcoin. You know, every other project, you know the faces behind it. And there had to be a level of anonymity for Bitcoin to even work. And Bitcoin, was groundbreaking, absolutely still is the flagship product, but it's also fairly simple. And when you get into more complex projects, such as supply chain, or such as licensing, or such as distributed marketplaces, you need to have faces on that. Not every mom and pop investor is going to be able to do a code review and make sure that the smart contracts aren't stealing their money. So you need these trusted entities to do code reviews. You need these sort of trusted parties, and people want to trust. And I think the future of crypto is going to be making sure trusted parties are trustworthy. It's adding a layer of verification and a layer of accountability to different companies so that they can't just do whatever they want and we have to take their word for it.
Absolutely. And I really think that is something everyone needs to be paying attention to, of just where it's headed. That layer of trust and of security. Because when you think about being secure, you think trust. And crypto is working to get there. Obviously, it's not there yet, but that's why even looking at like blockchain protocols, why there's such transparency. Like it's just, there's a lot of trust that's just within the protocol itself for it to work. So I think that on the crypto side, there are ways to go. We're headed in that direction, but we got some work to do. But Nathan, I really do appreciate your time. I thank you for being with us. But what is a final thought that you want to leave with our listeners today?
I think that the overarching message of blockchain and cryptocurrency since the beginning remains the same. We have a right to have knowledge about our transactions. We have a right to keep control of our own data. We have a right to a certain amount of self-sovereignty. And I believe that blockchain is going to be the future for that. And in my project, like everyone else's in this space, it's important that we as individuals and as consumers demand the rights that we should be entitled to, such as the right to know where our materials come from. That's it.
Absolutely. Well, again, Nathan, thank you for spending time with us, dropping a ton of great knowledge with us. What are some different ways that people can connect with you?
So you can join the MindSpider Telegram group. You can visit us at mindspider.com and check out our white paper there. And Telegram is an easy way, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn.
Perfect.
And you can check out the Analysis in Chains podcast, analysisinchains.com.
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure we have all of that in the show notes as well. But again, thank you so much for joining us. And for everybody listening, stay cryptocurrent.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of Cryptocurrent. For more information on this episode and all of our episodes, please visit us at www.crypto-current.co. Stay up to date with the latest news in cryptocurrency. You'll receive daily emails Monday through Friday that are personalized and curated content specific to you and your interest, powered by artificial intelligence. Are you an accredited investor looking to invest in cryptocurrency? Crescent City Capital can help. Go to crescentcitycapital.com for more information. If you're finding value in our content, please take 5 minutes to leave a 5-star review and a great comment. Also, please make sure to share this podcast with others. Hello, everyone. I hope you're enjoying the quality of this podcast. I can only thank my amazing producer, Andrew DeRitter, with DeRitter Productions, who has put this together. If you have any podcast, visual, or video needs, please go to DeRitterProductions.com. That's DeRitterProductions.com.
This has been another episode of Crypto Current, bringing you one step closer to becoming a crypto and blockchain aficionado. We look forward to giving you the latest in crypto news and analyses next week. Stay cryptocurrent.
Please use available exits now.